Today she is Masechta Chul and Daf Lamed Vav, and we will begin in Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph on the second line. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had begun discussing that we know the halacha is that food cannot be mekabel tuma unless it's mukshel kabel tuma. A mukshel kabel tuma means that it got wet. But when we discuss mukshel kabel tuma getting wet, the Gemara was focusing on blood being one of those liquids that could make something be mekabel tuma. But the question is, when one kills an animal or causes blood to come out of an animal, which blood are we referring to? And we're first going to explain the different, there are four types of blood that come out of the animal as it's eliminated. And the Gemara is going to identify which of those bloods is machshir animal for kabbalah's tumah and which is not. Again, in identifying the bloods, we're following Rashi's opinion. That's the opinion we're going to learn within the Gemara. There are other opinions as well, but first let's identify Rashi's pshat. When an animal is stabbed or slaughtered, the first blood that comes out is black blood that trickles out. Then comes out red blood that is also trickling out. Then comes out big spurts of blood. That's what's known in halacha as the dam ha-nefesh. And after that subsides, then again comes out blood, and that blood is the dam ha-tamsis. As I said, there are different opinions. Some suggest that when after the black blood comes out, there's still red blood coming out, but two types of red blood. The first part is dam ha-nefesh, and the second is the dam ha-tamsis. So according to that, there will be five blood come. There's going to be five blood come out. There's another opinion that says first there's red blood that trickles out, then there's blood that spurts out, red, then there's black blood that trickles out, and then the dam ha-tamsis. Different opinions. The Gemara talks about this primarily in Masechta Krisis Daf Chabeis, but again, the way we're going to learn our Gemara is with the four bloods as Rashi identified them, as we said. So says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, "V'dam chalolim yishteh." Says the Gemara, we learn from that Pasuk that only the dam ha-tamsis, that after the animal expires and becomes a chalol, at that point, that's the dam that has the ability, that's called a mashka, that's machshir food to kabbalah's tuma. Prat ladam ha-kiluach, the dam ha-nefesh, that according to this opinion, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's not considered dam ha-chalolim. Because the dam chalolim, according to this, is only dam that causes the animal, which comes out after the animal has expired. This dam ha-kiluach, which as we've been explaining, is dam ha-nefesh, Eidem Machshir Zrayim, does not have the ability to make a thing wet that they need to be wet to become kabbalah's tuma. Rashi points out that the Gemara mentions Zrayim seeds. It's not specifically seeds that this has this halacha. It's really all food. The reason the Gemara spoke about Zrayim is because the Torah, when it teaches us the halacha of liquid being machshel kabel tuma, speaks about zroim, speaks about seeds. So that's why the halacha is, that's why the Gemara spoke about this. So again, this pshat is indicating that only the blood that comes out after the animal is no longer alive is considered dam. Moreover, the Rishonim discussed, the Dvar Avraham discusses this. We mentioned earlier in our Masechta that when one kills specifically a bird, there's one that should cut the veridim, which are veins and arteries, in the neck of the animal. And they say that is not considered dam chalolim. The Dvar Avram says that that blood that comes out before the animal is killed. And if that blood comes out before the animal is killed, so as we're learning in our Shia now, it's not going to be considered Dam Chalolim. Says the Gemara Amra Papa, Hakol Moedim, both Rebbe and Rebbe, says the Gemara Tana Rabbanim, Hashoichit, if somebody kills the animal, hit his Dam al Dalas, and blood from that animal that was just slaughtered spritzed onto a cucumber, Rebbe Omer Huchshur, that dam has the ability to be machshir that food to makabel tuma. Rav Chiya Omer Tali. Rav Chiya says we wait to see, and the Gemara is going to explain. Rav Omer Avoshim Achshir Rebbe Omer Huchshur. Rebbe says that this blood becomes muchshir through this blood. Rav Chiya Omer Tailim. Rav Chiya says we're not sure. So the question, he says, on Amin Nismach, who should we rely on? What will be the status of this cucumber if something tame touches it after this liquid was put on it? And he says Rabbi Yishya, Pav and Nismach Rav Shimon, let's rely on the opinion of Shimon. Higher of Shimon, I'm a Shechita Machsheres, only the actual shechit of an animal, as we learned, has the ability to be machshir, a animal to be makabel tumah. But the dam of the shechita, that does not have the ability to be machshir something for kabbal, to be machshir something for kabbal's tumah. So again, the Gemara delves into what we just discussed. Amar Papa Hakol Moedim, Hecha de Isa l'dam metchil v'tzayif. If the dam remains on this cucumber till the end of the shechita, Kulam Alay Pligi, everybody will agree, says the Gemara, the Machshir, that blood has the ability to be Machshir, because it will be following the opinion of the Chachamim Mishnah, who disagree with Rav Shimon, and hold Dam Shechita as a Mashke. Ki Pligi, where is their question? B'niskanach Adam, Bein Simen L'Simen, where the blood was wiped off from this cucumber, between the cutting of the first sim and the cutting of the second simen. And the Gemara explains now. Rebbe Sover, an issue that we've discussed previously in our shiurim, Yeshna l'shchita metchila v'atzayif. The beginning of the shchita is included in the act of shchita. And therefore, the dam that came out from the cutting of the first simen is also considered dam shchita. And since it is considered dam shchita, it has the ability to be machshir this vegetable. Rav Chiya's opinion is ein l'shchita el b'soif. Only at the end of the shchita, after the cutting of the second simen, is it considered shchita. For high dam, and therefore the dam that came on the vegetable from the first simen being cut, makah ba'almahu, makah, it's just a makah. It's not dam shchita, and it's not a dam that could be machshir, a vegetable, or food to be makabel tumah. If that's pshat, ask Reb Papa, so what did Reb Chiya mean by saying toilin? My toilin? He says, toilin ad gemara shchita. We wait until the shchita is concluded. And the question, and way we look at it is as follows. If the blood from the first simen is still there at the time the shechita is completed, machshir, it will be machshir, that food for kabbal's tumah. Because now, when the shechita was completed, it turns out that the first simen was also part of the shechita. And therefore, it has the ability to be machshir food. And the Ran asks an obvious question. If we hold that ein l'shchita el l'psoif, that means the dam from the first simen is not considered dam shchita. So why should it make a difference, asks the Ran, that it's still there when the animal was completely slaughtered? It doesn't make a difference. It's dam from the first simen. So the Ran answers that even if we hold that ein l'shchita el b'soif, and as far as the way we view the act of shchita, that it's not considered an act of shchita until the shchita is completed, but as far as dam being considered, that it should be considered dam, and that it should have the ability to be machshir, for that it's considered dam shchita. And he brings a very nice raya. He says, as far as kisui dam is concerned, even if you hold ein l'shchita el b'soif, the halacha will tell us that the dam of the first siman, which didn't help make this, didn't make it into the shchita, is still chayim and kisui dam. So we see the different perspectives. For as far as the shchita is concerned, it's not considered a shchita till the end. But as far as being dam for kisui dam, or as for being dam that can be machshir, that it's going to be considered dam of shchita. Furthermore, e loy, if there's no dam left on this vegetable by the time the shchita is completed, loy machshir, because at that, the only, as long as this blood was on the vegetable, it was not yet dam shchita, and since it wasn't yet dam shchita, it doesn't have the ability to be machshir. Says the Gemara, Rapapa continues to explain. So now we're explaining that the machloikus of Rebbe and Reb Chiya is very much connected to the opinion of the Chachamim. That the opinion of the Chachamim is that dam shchita is machshir, and the only discussion is, at what point is it considered dam shchita? But then the Braisa said, Bav nismach ad Reb Shimon. What are we saying? How does Reb Shimon come in? The way we're explaining now, Rebbe and Reb Chiya are tying their opinion to the Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand what the Braisa meant to say. Li Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, lo machshir. The blood is not machshir at all. The reason that the blood is not machshir is, as we've been saying, Reb Shimon holds that dam shchita is not machshir. Reb Chiya machshir, Reb Chiya holds it's machshir, but b'niskanach, if the blood was wiped away, mir ashvi la'dodi. Reb Chiya said that when will this dam have the ability to be machshir? He says the ability to be machshir will only be in a time and a place where the dam is still there at the end of the shchita. But as we just finished explaining, if the dam was wiped off between the first siman and the second siman, so therefore when the shchita is complete, when the animal is dead, it's not there, Reb Chiya will agree that it's not machshir. So in that case, when there's no blood at the end of the shchita, miyu ashvil adadi, they, both Reb Shimon and Reb Chiya, are going to be in agreement. Maloi machshir, Rav Shimon holds, because dam shchita, it's not machshir because he holds the dam shchita is never machshir. And according to Reb Chiya, it's not machshir because it wasn't there when the shchita was completed. So the only one that holds that it is machshir is Rebbe, because Rebbe holds that any dam that comes out during any part of the shchita has the ability to be machshir. So have Rebbe chad. So the opinion of Rebbe is one versus the opinion of Reb Shimon and Reb Chiya, and the halacha is that aim tvarav shalakim makom shnayim. We don't paskin, we follow the rife. Reb Chiya Shimon versus Rebbe. And the Marik and many others use this Gemara to tell us a very interesting halacha. That we know that when we have an abesdin or any situation, we follow the rabbin. What is the halacha? When do we follow the rabbin? Do we follow the rabbin if they both have the same conclusion, even if they got to their conclusion in different ways? Or do we follow the rabbin under all circumstances? And our Gemara is indicating that we follow the rabbin under all circumstances. Because as we just finished explaining, Reb Shimon and Reb Chiya get to the same result, but they don't get there the same way. And indeed, that's the way the Ramah Paskins in Shulchan Aruch Chayshe Mishpat, Simchav Hei Sebeis, Imayi Yachid Neger Rabim, Hocha Rabim Uchal Mokoyim, We always follow the majority. Afilu she'ein harabim maskimim mitam echad, even if they don't come to that conclusion for the same reason. El kol echad yesh leitam b'fnei atzmai. Each one has his own reasoning. Hoyel ve maskimim le'inyan adin. Since as far as the halacha is concerned, they do agree. Hehe harayim rabim. They're considered a rabim. V'holchem achrayim, and we follow that psak. However, there are many paiskim, the Shach over there says, that when do we follow this opinion? It's only when do we allow two disparate opinions that have the same conclusion, but not the same reason that that's considered a roiv. That's only when it's a question of a derabbanan. So by derabbanan, as long as they have the same opinion, even though they got there in different ways, that's when we follow the roiv. But when it's a deraisa, when we're dealing with an issue that's an issa deraisa, it's not enough that they have the same opinion. They also have to have the same reasoning. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi has a different way of approaching this Gemara. Rav Ashi Amar, when Rav Chiya said toilem, loyle mashma, that of cucumber that got mukhshu dam shchita is loyle mashma. It's not like Rav Papa, who said that we have to wait until the shchita completes, is ended, and then see what happened here, and that dam ends up being dam shchita, and then it has the ability to be machshir. If it doesn't end up to be dam shchita, it doesn't have the ability to be machshir. According to this understanding, Rashi says, the question is on the cucumber. Toilim is the status of the cucumber will always be in limbo. Toilim l'oilim mashma. V'niskanach l'rchia svukim esavkalei. And even if the blood was wiped off before the second simon was cut, it's going to be a question, what is the status of this dalas? Because, and therefore, the dam that came out by the first simon is dam shchita, and it's going to be machshir this cucumber. Or do we say that the shchita is only at the end, and therefore the dam that came out by the first simon, that dam can't be machshir until the second simon is cut? And what is the issue of the, what is the definition of toilim? Since we don't know, we have this situation that the blood that spritzed on it from the first simon got wiped off, then what we do with this vegetable is loy oichlin, we can't eat it, v'loy sarf, and we can't burn it. Normally, the loch is the truma that comes tamei, we have to burn. But here, there's a suffix, what is the status? And it doesn't get burnt, because we don't know if it got mukshir. And the way to understand it, poshup shat, is that not since we're not sure it was mukshir, and we're talking about the last, which is truma, so now we have the following dilemma. If it's tahor, so there's a mitzvah to eat it. There's a mitzvah to eat truma. If it's tamei, it's a mitzvah to burn it. But if it's not tamei, you're not allowed to burn it, because you're not allowed to burn something that you're not allowed to burn truma, which is tahor. And since we don't know what the status is, we're going to have to, we don't know what to do with it, and we have to wait fellow yo to come tell us, and therefore we can't eat it because it may be tamei, because it got wet and then got exposed to tumah, or it might be tar because it was never wet, and a food that never got wet can never become tamei. So what the Rishonim say is, since we don't know, Rashi says we have to wait fellow yo. And the question is, how could the Gemara suggest that we wait fellow yo? We know the Gemara says in many places that loy b'shamayim, that something cannot be paskened by mishamayim. We don't accept that as a method of psak. So what is meant when it says here atchiyav aliyo? The answer is, we don't accept mishamayim. If mishamayim, they say that loch is this way, that loch is that way. That's something that we can't rely on mishamayim. Here it's a question of mitzias. When it's a question what happened, we can rely on aliyo novi. So now continues Rabbi Yosi to explain the continuation of the Braisa. He says, Rav Shimon, this is not Machshir, because Rav Shimon's opinion is that dam shchita is never machshav. Lebchia sveikahu, according to Shvia, we have a suffix. Is it, what's the status of this blow? Linya sreifa, but as far as burning it, both are agreement, both miyas sreifa, shavla dadi. We shouldn't burn it. According to Shimon, certainly we shouldn't burn it because it's not tamei, because it never got wet. And according to Reb Chia, we don't burn it because we don't know what to do. Mar, according to Reb Shim, we don't burn it. Lo sarfi, because it's certainly tahor, because it never became mukshir, because dam shchit is not mukshir. Or Mar, according to Reb Chia, lo sarfi, because it might still be tahor. Havle Rebbe, so Rebbe who says that it is tamei, because certainly dam shchit came on it, because yeshno l'shchit metchil v'atsoif, and made it wet, and made a mukshir kabel tumah. He's one against Rav Chia and Rav Shimon. Ve'ein dvar v'shalach b'makom shnayim. Says the Gemara v'akama. And now, according to this, when Rav Chia said in our Shia Toilin, Kigoyin Zoyis Toilin, this is a situation Rav Shia says that when we speak about this, lo oichlev lo sarfin. The halacha is, as we've been saying, that food is not mekabel tuma, as we've been learning in our Shurim over and over again. Food has not become tuma, mekabel tuma, unless it becomes wet. Says the Gemara, even though food is not mukhsh l'kabel tuma, unless it becomes wet, the aloch is kotshim on mekabel tuma, even without becoming wet. Because there's a concept which we've discussed many times, and that's the concept of chibas ha-kodesh makshartam. Something which is kodesh makes it be considered like a food, and even with getting wet, will it be mekabel tumah? Because the pasuk says, "V'abasa shi'igah b'chol tamei le'yoychol beish yisarif, v'abasa kol tohor yoychol basar." The basar, that the word habasar that said the second time, is superfluous, and it's coming to teach us that even eitzim and levaina, which are not food altogether, are mekabel tumah. Because since they're kodesh, anything that's kodesh is subject to chibas ha-kodesh, and that's mekabel machshdem mekabel tumah. So we're learning two halachas. One halacha is that a food which normally has to get wet is only to be mekabel tumah. Kodesh doesn't have to get wet to be mekabel tumah. And the other halacha is that even something which is not a food at all, still, if it's kodesh, the halacha is, if it's kodesh, the halacha is that it's machshirit l'kabel tumah. So Rashi explains that the reason produce is not susceptible to tumah is that something which is not rinsed is not considered an oichel. In fact, the Gemara says that an unrinsed food is like an unfinished oven. So it has to be rinsed to make it into a food. Otherwise, if it's unfinished, we know something which is unfinished is not mekabel tumah. The Ramban says the reason food has to be wet in order to be able to be mekabel tumah is something which is moist is more susceptible to mekabel tumah. Says the Kli Chemda, the pshat that Rashi gives why food has to become wet is because that makes it complete, is very much in line with what we're learning in our Gemara, the Chibas HaKodesh. Because in Amud Beis, our Gemara says, Chibas HaKodesh Mashvilei Uchla. So we see that why does something have to become wet? Because it only becomes Uchla when it's wet. Chibas HaKodesh makes it be considered an Uchla even if it's not wet. But according to the Ramban, we must understand why is Chibas HaKodesh have the ability to make something be Mukhsh L'Kabel Tumah. We're going to have to say it's Xeris HaKosev that even though the Torah says that something only when it's wet is only when it gets wet is roy to be Mekabel Tumah. Otherwise, the Tumah of Sheretz or Nevela can't attach themselves to it. But something that's Kodesh, there's a concept that many explain when they speak about tumah. The holier something is, the more susceptible it is to tumah. How do we see that? We see that a person, when he dies, has tumas mes. An animal doesn't, because a person is holier than an animal. And since a person is holier than an animal, that's why he's more susceptible to tumah. So the Ramban says that only when something wet does it have the ability to have tumah attach itself to it. But when is that said? Only something which is not on a high level of Kedusha. But when we speak about Kodesh, Chibas HaKodesh makes that even if it's not wet, Tumah could easily attach itself to it. So now I ask the Gemara, by Rav Shimon Lokesh Tzrid Shomenachis. Yeah, we have a dry pot of flour of a carbon mincha. And the Mefarshim discuss, well, how can we have the dry pot of a mincha when the mincha has oil? So the simple pshat the Rashi gives is that you have some flour which oil did not attach itself to. But to that, Tosfos asks, how can we say that pshat? The Gemara in Masechta Chagiga says that when you have everything in one vessel, it's considered one. So therefore, if you have some flour that attached to oil, so that should make as if all the flour should be considered that was attached to oil. So some Rishonim suggest that regarding Hechsher, the halacha that something has to become wet in order to be Mekabel Tumah, it's a halacha in a Metzius. Only something that got actually wet is Mukshel Kabel Tumah. If it didn't actually get wet, even though it's in a Keli, the other parts got wet, it won't make it Mukshel Kabel Tumah. That's one pshat. The other pshat that the Rishonim suggest is, as we learned, there are carbon mincha, which are mincha chareva, that don't have any oil in it. The mincha soita, the mincha chayta. So that's how you could have only flour without wet, without any oil. So now ask the Gemara Bar of Shimon, Belok Tzrich Lamanachas, if you have a dry part of the carbon mincha, and now we're learning, because of the concept of Chibas HaKodesh, they're anyway Mukshel Kabel Tumah. When we say that something is able to be Tumah without being wet because of Chibas HaKodesh, how far do we take this halacha? Do we say, money by Rish Mishani, that it even Kabbalah's Tumah, that we always speak about Kabbalah's Tumah, we always speak about going further to Rish Mishani, or it's Mukshel Kabel Tumah, but it's only about the thing itself. But to say that it has such a high level of tumah that it should be able to spread tumah further, ain't minded by Rishon Sheni, we don't say that. And the Gemara explains, Mi mahani chibas hakodesh lefsule gufay. When we speak about a chibas hakodesh, it only speaks about the item itself. Lemimne bei Rishon Sheni loy. We don't take it that far. Oidama, once it's tumah loishna, it even could spread to Rishon Sheni. Amar Blazer Toshima. The pasuk says, when the Torah speaks about tumas oichlim, b'kol oichal shi oichal shi yovel amayim yitma. So we learn oichal b'mayim mukshur. Food that got wet is mukshur v'kabalos tumah. Oichal she'en b'mayim, but food that never got wet loy mukshur. So we see that it doesn't have the ability to spread tumah further. Says the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. So it's a raya that it doesn't have the ability to make Risha Visheni. On this, asked the Gemara, Otter Shimon Lekosh Leslei Oichal Baba Mayim, that Oichal Baba Mayim does have the ability to spread Tumah. Rishimon Lekosh Hakim Velei. So how can we say it doesn't go further? El Chibas HaKadosh Oichal Baba Mayim Dami Oiloi. The question is, when we say that Chibas HaKadosh is equivalent to making something wet, how do we explain that? To what degree? Says the Gemara, Belazan Nami Maturikra. He explains this from the Pasuk. Michti Ksiv. The Pasuk says, when we speak about food getting wet, and therefore being Mukshel Kabel Tumah, V'chiyuta Mayim Azer V'naflim Nalosim Olav Tamei Luchem. But then the Pasuk continues, B'kala Eichel Shiyach Alameli, isn't it coming to teach us, La'alam Uti Chibas Kodesh, that when something only became Mukshel because of Chibas HaKodesh, that it doesn't have the ability to spread, says the Gemara Loi. The Pasuk, both Psukim are teaching us the same halacha. Why was it necessary to teach us the same halacha twice? Loi. Chad b'tumas meis. One is speaking about tumas meis, and one is talking about tumas sheretz. And the way Rashi explains, the pasuk v'chiyutei ma'ayim al zera is speaking about tumas sheretz, and the pasuk v'mekol oichel shi'oichel is speaking about tumas meis. The Rishonim point out that the Gemara could have also said one speaking about tumas sheretz and one speaking about tumas nevela. But the Gemara here is saying that we're talking about tumas meis and tumas sheretz. And the question, of course, is why would we need separate psukim to teach us this halacha both by tumas meis and by tumas sheretz? Tzrichi. The Ashmina tumas meis, if this halacha was only taught by tumas meis, hasam would buy a heksher. That's what we would say that heksher is required. The something which has tumas meis is only metama when it has the size of a kazayas. Av a sheretz metama bekadasha, a sheretz that's even metama kadasha, the halacha should be that it should be susceptible to tuma even without heksher, even without getting wet. That's why we have a pasuk. V'yashmin sheretz shem d'lama tamas shiva. Somebody who comes to sheretz goes to the mikveh, has hair of shemesh tonight, and he's tor. Av a meis matama tamas shiva. But when we speak about a meis, then we know a meis is tamei for at least 7 days, and then he could start becoming his purification process. Emeloy l'boy hechsher, since it's a very strong type of tumah. Therefore, maybe food that comes in contact with that type of tumah doesn't need heksher. Sricha, that's why we need a pasuk. We learned here the Brisa taught us, Mikol ha-she'oichel ha-she'oichel, oichel ha-bob b'mayim hukshur, oichel shem en ha-bob b'mayim loy mukshur. So I saw that the Imri Chaim explains, the Vishnu Tzereba, he says that a pri, we know, speaks about as a person. If he comes in contact with water, this goes back to the concept where we spoke before, that the holier you are, the more likely or the more susceptible you are to Kabbalah's Tumah. So, Oichel HaShabal of Mayim, or Pre-Shabal of Mayim, a person that was exposed to Mayim, a Mayim El Torah, a person that was exposed to Torah, is a person that has to be careful. He, because he's in such a high state, we have to be concerned that he should not become mukshel kabal tuma. He has to watch himself much more. But oichel shloi bal oichel, a food that never came to that level, if it's food that never came to that level, or a person that never came to that level, kedusha, is not mukshel kabal tuma. The lesson being, the holier you are, the more you have to watch yourself not to be exposed to tuma. Says the Gemara Moser of Yosef. So if Yosef asks, if Shimon Oimer, we learned in our Mishnah that a behemah chayv oif that was slaughtered hukshur b'shkita, they become mukshur, even though there was no liquid. In fact, as we said at the beginning of our shir, Rav Shimon's whole opinion is that shchita is machshirem even without any liquid. And doesn't the Mishnah mean to say, I feel a mimne by Rishon v'sheni? But why? Am I, according to what you're saying, it's not something that got exposed to liquid. And according to you, anything that didn't get exposed to liquid, we don't count further. Amalei, says the Gemara, what Rav Shimon means to say is that something was only mukshur with shchita, a suk echshemayim drabonin. Mid the raisa, it wouldn't be able to impart tuma to rishon v'sheni. It's only mid rabonin that Chazal made this gzeira. Amar of Seira, so Gemara asks another question, that we see that something that became tummy with chibas hakodesh has the ability to spread tuma further. Toshma. The Brisa teaches us haboitzer legas. If somebody cuts grapes to make wine of them, and as you're putting them into the basket, grapes liquid comes out. Shammai Amar, hochshir that these grapes become mushla kabbalas tumah with that liquid that came out. For Hillheimer, loy hochshir. He says, Hill's opinion is only liquid that I want can make something mushla kabbalas tumah. I'm not interested in this liquid. I don't want it to be crushed yet, and therefore it doesn't have the ability to be mushla kabbalas tumah. And says the Brisa, v'shosik lei Hillel l'shamay. Ultimately, Hillel agreed to Shamay that this liquid does have the ability to match the kabbal tumah. But says the Gemara, v'amai, v'alav oichla baba maimhu. Why did Hillel agree to Shamay? Asked the Gemara. We know that the only time that liquid has the ability to make something mushla kabbal tumah is liquid that I want this food to get wet. Here I wasn't interested in that. And amai v'alav oichla baba maimhu. To which Abaye responds, "Asuka machshamayim medrabbanan." That it doesn't mean that it's really medraisa; it's only medrabbanan. So that because the owners don't want this to go to waste. So continues the Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Yosef, amin alachana. I brought you a raya from what Rav Shimon said in the Mishnah Huchshir b'shchita. So here we see that even without liquid, it can become mukshel kabel tuma to go rishi v'sheni. Vat amrit asuk hechshir k'mayim, and you're bringing a raya from this case, which is only a derabbanan. Amalech Rav Zeir, to which Rav Zimt said, Amalech asuk hechshir k'mayim, that I said shchita has the ability to make a lech shemayim. Rav Shimon lakshnami asu kech shemayim. So therefore, he's going to say in all cases when it's midrabbanan, it goes further. Amalei atar Rav Shimon ben Lakish litlus coming by lei. Did we have a question about eating them? Of course, that you're not allowed to eat them if they came in contact with tumah. Ki coming by lei. The question that we're asking is listroif. If truma and kachim became in contact with something that became tummy through Chibas Kodesh, the question is, what do we do? We can't eat them because maybe they're tummy Rabbanon, but maybe we can't burn them, as we said earlier in the Shir, because they're Midaraisa Tor, so we're not allowed to burn them. Mechlal, but what do we see from here? That the halacha is Chibas Kodesh is Midaraisa. The Chibas Kodesh is indeed Midaraisa, and the only question that we have is, how do we take that any further? Minolon, ask the Gemara, how do we know that Chibas HaKadosh has that ability? Ilayim adiksiv, what the Pasuk says by kachim meat. V'basa shiga b'chotame lo yoichel. Says the Gemara, hi basa diskasha b'mai. What's the question? Ilayim diskasha b'dam, if you're going to say that it came in contact with the dam shchita, ask the Gemara, v'am rab chibar abba, v'am rab yoichnon, minayin l'dam kachim shayna makshir. How do we know that they don't have the ability to be makshir? Shinam aloyars loysoy, t'chlen ataras kishpchenu kamayim. And we learn from here, dam hanishpa kamayim, water that's spilled, makshir has the ability to be makshir. But dam kachim, which is not nishpa kamayim, because when we know what we have to do with dam kachim is use it for zrikas adam, ain't a makshir. So the halacha is, why are they become mukshir through the dam shchita? Ella, what are you going to say? Tiskasha b'mashke b'emet b'chaya. It became mukshir through the water that's found in the butchering area of the Beis HaMikdash, where they would constantly rinse the meat, and that's how it became mukshir. Ask the Gemara v'amar Rav Chiya, v'amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, mashke b'emet b'chaya, the liquid that's found in the butchering area, loy dan shein dochen. Not only are they tar, but even they don't have the ability to be machshir. So it can't be that. V'chitema, says the Gemara, if you'll say, you know what doesn't, what liquid that's found in the Bay Ma'id B'chaya is not machshir, it's the dam, but the water that's found there is going to be mukshir. It says, v'mashkei, it says mashkei. Mashkei is that it's a Lashon Rabbim. So it's talking about both the water and the dam. Elalav. So if that's the case, how does it become mukshir? The dam that comes out by the shkita doesn't have the ability to be makshir. The dam and water that's found in the butchering area doesn't have the ability to be makshir. It must be that the only reason it becomes mukshir, the skashir b'chibas hakodesh, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, maybe the way to understand it is that we're speaking, as Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul explained, you have a cow that's a carbon shlomim, that was taken through a stream of water as it was being brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and shechted, and then you shechted, and it's still wet. The reason the Gemara speaks about, the Gemara uses the example of a shlomim, one is because the pasuk there of a basar is speaking about shlomim, explains Rashi, and the other reason is that when we speak about something being wet and becoming mukshir because it's wet, one of the concepts we said in our shir, and I've said many other times, is because the owners wanted to get wet. So if we're talking about a carbon shlomim, so carbon shlomim is a carbon that belongs to the owner. And because it's a carbon that belongs to the owner, he wants it to be wet. And as the Rishonim explained, he wants it to be wet because it's going to be easier to skin the animal if it's wet when it comes to skinning. But if it's kachim kachim, it's not an animal that's going to be his. It's an animal that's going to be left for the kohanim or oiler, not left even for anybody. And given that that would be the circumstances, his interest or disinterest in being wet is immaterial, says the Gemara. Ella, again, so we're back to looking for a source, the chibas hakadosh mechsharta. Ella m'seifa, we can learn from the following part of the pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'abasa shika b'chal tamal yoichel be'eshi tzarev, v'abasa kol tar yoichel basar." And the question was, why does the Torah use the second habasa? L'rabbis eitzim avaynim. The eitzim avaynim of the carbon can be kabbled tumas oichlin. But the question is, eitzim avaynim b'nei oichlin inu? Do we eat the eitzim avaynim? Ella, why are they mukshir with kabbalas? Why do we have tumas oichel? El chibas HaKadosh Machshirula Mashvel Eichel. The Chibis HaKadosh makes it into the food. HaChinami, so too by any Kadosh, even if it doesn't get wet. But since it's subject to Chibis HaKadosh, that's why it's Machshira. Says the Gemara, and now, says the Gemara, now that we've established, says Rish Lakish, that Chibis HaKadosh has the ability to make food Machshir L'Tabal Tuma, the question is, how do we look at it? Kimahani Machibis HaKadosh L'Sula de Gufe, that it itself can become Kabbal Tama. It doesn't become Tama to the degree that it could spread the Tama further. Once it's Mukshul Kabbal Tama, it's Mukshul Kabbal Tama completely. And to this, says the Gemara Teiku, we remain with a question, how to understand the halacha, the Chibas HaKadosh is Machshir food for Kabbalah's Tama.